Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. You're going to be glad you did because Grace Marie Turner is back with us. Grace Marie is a longtime member of our brain trust. She's been with us for many, many years as an outstanding expert in the area of healthcare public policy. Nobody on the planet is more plugged in and more revered in terms of her opinions and her perspectives and her knowledge on healthcare public policy. She's the president of the Galen Institute, and which is an organization that focuses on nothing but healthcare public policy, and especially with the intention of promoting market solutions, portability in healthcare reform, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Grace Marie Turner, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's such a pleasure to be with you and your terrific audience. Thank you very much for having me on.
It's good to have you here. Grace Marie, before we get into the public policy, the healthcare reform issue, which is very important because, as I told my audience in the first part of the show, this is a debate that's on the table right now, folks. It's open. It is going to be voted on real soon, so it's something we've got to talk about. But before we get to that, Grace Marie, I want to talk about a little bit of current events, and that's the swine flu thing that's going on right now. I don't know how bad this thing will get. Obviously, it's scary in Mexico because 130 or so people have died, but in America, they've identified a couple of dozen people have it in different places across the country, but one person, to my knowledge, is actually in the hospital. Nobody has died. And I heard somebody on CNBC this morning, actually, I'm talking about one of the anchors, actually characterize it as the swine flu pandemic.
Now,
Grace Marie,
that's
ridiculous.
It's crazy. You know, we have to remember what Rahm Emanuel, the president's chief of staff, said. He said, don't let any good crisis go to waste. And what are they going to do here to try to use this to gain political power? And you're absolutely right. Certainly, we all need information about what's going on. What's causing this? Is there an antiviral for it? But the situation in the United States is very different from the situation in rural Mexico, for heaven's sakes. And we need to understand making sure that people get, if they have the symptoms, that they get to the doctor right away, that person is quarantined. A civil society is able to handle this without calling it a global pandemic and basically isolating Mexico so that people are supposed to cancel all of their trips and their vacations to Mexico, which is probably one of the only things it has now supporting its economy.
Mexico is one of our big trading partners.
Absolutely right. So it really is just, it's shocking to me, this sense of creating crisis. And then the crisis of the flyover and the photo shoot over Manhattan yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, what is this? People are going to become desensitized to the
How obtuse is that? How demented is it? Would it be to fly that 747 at low altitudes? It buzz lower Manhattan. A 747 is unmistakable in the air, and then to have jets following it. I mean, what is that? How stupid? I can't help it, folks. There's no other word to say. It's if it's not stupid, then what they got was intentional. They intended to get what they got. But here's the thing. I do want to point one thing out.
And it wasn't just a photo op. It was a photo opportunity for Air Force One. You know, they wanted some new pictures of Air Force One.
Why do they need that? Why do they need that?
Don't ask me. Is this something the White House ordered? We need to find that out.
But I want to point something out though, folks. In case you're thinking Grace Marie is going overboard on this thing about don't waste a crisis. I actually heard somebody yesterday try to make the case that part of the problem we're going to have with the swine flu pandemic that this person said that we have, which we actually don't have, is that we've allowed our population to not have health care. Now, you can't tell me that they're not trying to make a direct connection between the swine flu situation and this health care debate that's on the table right now.
And what we really need to look at is what do public policies do to deter pharmaceutical companies from continuing to do research, to continue to follow strains of flu and other other infectious diseases, so that they need incentives to produce the vaccines and the treatments, and they actually impede them in this administration.
Hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back, folks. 22, right back after these messages with Grace Marie Turner. Stay with us, please.
Come from the cities and they come from the smaller towns. And beat up cars with guitars and drummers go crack. Boom,
little
bam.
John Mellencamp, ladies and gentlemen. That's Heartland of Music right there, buddy. Heartland Music, rocking in the USA. We're rocking and rolling with our good friend Grace Marie Turner. I'm Jim Blassingame, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Please check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. Subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog. Check out our knowledge base. Listen to archives of past interviews that we've done. The ones we did, already done this week, the ones we did last week, the ones we did 10 years ago, they're there, by the way. Thousands of archives on every topic under the sun, articles, too, that people have written, like our good friend Grace Marie Turner and all of our Brain Trust members, and some that I've written. A couple, I guess maybe about 400 articles that I've written are there as well. So check those out and use them to your advantage, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JimBlassingame. Grace Marie Turner, as I said, folks, is with us. She's the president of the Galen Institute. We're talking about health care. Grace Marie, health care is on the table. Now, in the beginning of the year when I made my predictions, I predicted that cap and trade wouldn't become a big issue because it was not the right time for the economy. I predicted that the union bill would not make it because it was a bad time in the economy for that. Even though they're trying to push those through, I'm probably going to be right. They're not going to make it. But I said that the Obama administration would not back off on health care, that they would push that through, and that they would claim that it is part of the economic recovery. And that's what's happening.
You're absolutely right. I'll give you the timetable, and then what they need to do, they need to pass health reform, so then they can do cap and trade. Then they can do this huge energy tax so that they can pay for health reform. So that is absolutely the sequence. Their agenda is they want to get legislation on the floor of the major committees in Congress by June. They want to get both houses of Congress having passed bills in July. They want to spend the August recess reconciling the two so that they can have a health care bill that the president would sign in the fall. There is a lot in these bills that people need to be very aware of because it has a huge potential impact on business.
I want you to explain those bills to us, but before we do, I want you to explain how they're getting around the filibuster.
Well, they plan to use a process that's designed to help us reconcile the budget deficit, something called reconciliation, which would allow them to pass this legislation with only 51 votes.
Now, to be fair, the Republicans have used reconciliation too.
They use
so
it, but they
it's not like it. It's not like it's. I mean, you got to be. We're trying to be fair about this. It is a political tool that can be used.
But they used it to pass a tax cut for all the American people.
Think
not
about that,
something
folks.
That's going to raise taxes in perpetuity on individuals and businesses and change one-sixth of our economy for good. And those are two very different things.
I agree with you. Now, Tell us about some of the details. Tell us about the devil and the details of the health care.
Well, there are a number of provisions of this legislation, but let me just focus on two that I think are particularly at risky for small businesses. One is the possibility that they will require all businesses, including small businesses, to provide health coverage for their workers. The government will define what that coverage has to be, and you can be sure it is going to be a very generous / expensive health benefits.
In the mode of New York and Massachusetts and California,
absolutely,
where they load it up with all these goodies that make the cost prohibitive for the average small business.
And they've already said it is going to be a generous package, which is right now priced at about $14,000 a year for a family. There will initially be subsidies to help small businesses with this, but all of the subsidies have to go into health insurance. None of it's going to be able to go back to the company, and the company is going to have to put a lot of its own money on the table to comply with this new federal.
So even though my little company provides insurance for my employees, if it's not enough, I may have to pony up more. Even though my employees are happy with the coverage that they have, and it's adequate for them.
That's what's happening right now in Massachusetts, is a number of people have employer-based health insurance that they're happy with, that they can afford, and the state is saying, I'm sorry, that's not good enough, that's not the insurance the state is mandating, therefore you are subject to a fine. And by the way, the state wants the fines because it's part of its funding mechanism for the legislation.
Now, didn't President Obama make the statement, if you have health insurance and you're happy with it, we're not going to mess with that? Didn't he say that?
He absolutely said that. And yet, the Lewin Group, which is an important consulting company, has done an analysis of another piece of this provision that we need to look at, the government having its own insurance plan. And he says if that's implemented, that 130 million Americans are going to lose the private coverage they have today and be on this government plan. And that's the second major danger of this legislation, is a public plan. It always underpays, and anybody who's still in the private market is going to see their premiums go up even more because of the cost shifting.
And ultimately, because they're going to allow you, correct me if I'm wrong here, Grace Marie, because they're going to allow you to choose the government plan or the private plan, the government plan will undercut the private plan to the point where you'll choose the government and it'll ultimately run the private companies out of business.
Absolutely right. And in fact, the Washington Post, of all places, editorialized to that point yesterday, saying the public plan is a path toward single-payer, socialized, government-run health insurance.
Yeah, a la Europe, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
And folks, I've been to Europe. They may like their plan, but they're tired of paying the taxes for it.
Well, they may like it if they're not sick. They like it. They can go see a doctor.
That's a good point.
Cancer care, good luck.
Hold on to that thought. Quick break. Right back with Grace Marie Turner. Stay with me. A little bit of Steely Dan bringing us back. One of the great American bands of all time, Steely Dan. Welcome back. 7 Till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Grace Marie Turner. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to run her for president if it's all possible. I'd like to live in a world where there's a president, Grace Marie Turner.
I want to be vice president for the Jim Blassingame ticket.
You know what? You know what?
Turner is
could we turn this world around or what?
we put freedom first.
We wouldn't apologize for America either, would we?
We absolutely, and we believe in this country. We believe in the American people.
And the marketplace.
Absolutely. And I was just in Moore County, North Carolina, over the weekend, and a woman came up to me saying that she's running a group of other women who want to be knowledgeable about policy, and they get together and they really try to learn because they want to be active participants in the debate. And how great is that?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We've
got citizens who want to be able to know, how do we answer all these liberal, government's going to solve all your problem articles and arguments, and how do we come back at them with good, solid arguments?
One good thing about all these...
Program.
One good thing about all these assaults on the marketplace, on capitalism, Grace Marie, is that it's bringing people like that out of the woodwork who otherwise might have been, heretofore, have been kind of asleep and lying dormant.
That's what all the Tea Parties were about.
Yeah, exactly.
People who normally do not demonstrate in the streets coming out and saying, this is too much. You are taking away the future of my grandchildren and grandchildren.
Grace Marie, we need to know how to contact you, how to find you.
I'd love for people to visit us on the web at Galen, GALEN.org. And I'd also love for people to sign a petition that we have created called Do No Harm to Our Healthcare System. They can find it at DoNoHarmPetition.org.
Okay.
They need to put the word petition in there.
What are you going to do with the signatures?
And we're going to get these signatures to policymakers in Washington and all over the country to let them know that people don't want a new government-run health insurance plan. They don't want one-size government benefit package. They don't want for employers to be required to provide health insurance. They don't want mandates on individuals or employers. They don't want some new federal institution.
Why would anybody want the government to be in charge of an additional 17% of our economy?
Exactly.
I mean, they already can't run what they're in control of, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you don't need to understand health care or the health care public policy issues. All you got to know is the government wants more control over our lives. They can't manage effectively. They're already screwing up. I mean, folks, do you want an organization that ran basically launched and controlled Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Do you want that organization to be in charge of your health care? I don't.
And healthcare is so personal and so individual. There's absolutely no functional way that government can make decisions that are going to be able to take advantage and take into account our individual needs, especially as we move into a world of personalized medicine, where doctors and patients and a much greater ability to use information wisely, so we can get the right treatment at the right place at the right time.
The irony, Grace Marie, is we're coming into a time when getting health care and getting cures and getting feeling better should be getting easier, not more complex.
Exactly. And you put government in the way of that, and so much of the innovation that we've seen really starting to come to the forefront over the last decade is absolutely going to be suffocated.
Grace Marie, in the minute we got left, let's make sure we keep the audience squared away on one thing. This thing is on the table. It's coming to a vote. We could literally have this thing pass in June. Is that right?
It could pass out of committees in June, on the floor, different bills on the floor of both houses in July, and then a bill to the president's desk by the fall.
We could actually have a radicalized health care reform legislation signed into law by the fall.
They will tell you that they're just raising taxes to take care of people who don't have health insurance. 10 million people who are lower income are already eligible for existing public programs and are not signed up. We do not need to turn 1/6 of our economy over to the federal government to solve the problem of the uninsured. Yep. With targeted solutions, people can find them on our website at galen.org.
Yeah. Hey, Grace Marie, thank you. Keep up the good fight. Nobody does more for our cause on this than you, and we appreciate you.
Thank you, Jim.
Grace Marie Turner, ladies and gentlemen, president of the Galen Institute. I really hope you'll go there. Go to galen.org and check it out. And don't forget to check out the petition, too, and sign that, as I'm planning on doing. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And remember, today be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.